Blog Talk Radio.
On Blog Talk Radio Nation, you are tuned into the 411 Lounge. I am LeVar, and a few weeks ago, we had the love lawyer Corey Fettman on our broadcast, and she was discussing a brand new webisode series that she was on called The Wise Guys. And so I knew after we finished talking to her, I just absolutely had to have my guest today on, the writer, producer, the brains behind it, the star of the broadcast, and he is also the co-owner of OneClub.fm on the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and the only Sal Amato. Sal, what's going on? Welcome to the broadcast.
Sure. Glad to be aboard. I'm glad I got the right time.
I know you're a busy man, and I know it seems, you know, after you finish all of those shoots and everything else, it seems probably like the days have been running up on each other and the hours have been running up on each other. Now, I know you probably had some more filming last night, did you?
No, actually, last night was more radio stuff, programming, getting shows into the system, and I just realized the summer is over. It seemed like yesterday that baseball started, and now football's here. I just lost track of everything.
So are you a fantasy league guy, or do you just sit back and just actually watch the games?
No, I just watch our teams lose, and I keep our fingers crossed that sometime in this century, somebody else in the city will win something. Fantasy football, I don't understand. I tried fantasy football once, and I forgot about it. And I still get spam. From like 5 years ago, I still get, hey, would you like to get your penis enlarged? Hey, would you like your breast reduced? Would you like a butt implant? I mean, they can't make up their mind what they want to send me. I still get spam from that from 5 years ago.
Well, they want to keep you. They want to make sure you continue playing. So,
yeah, they just want everything grow larger for me. Everything just needs to get bigger, I guess. You know, big boobs, big whatever.
Oh, it's like if we can get into the fantasy football league, biz, we'd be all good then. But that'll be the next webisode series you can do. Let's talk about this one first. And The Wise Guys truly has taken off here. And let's kind of go back to the beginning. What were your inspiration, you know, for developing this? You know, I think we've seen quite a few of the interviews. We kind of go back and take us to the beginning. What kind of led you to start writing this and then get it to where it's at now?
Well, I mean, it was a culmination of things. Originally, I had seen these things called homies that were selling, you know, in the stores, and I thought, well, it'd be kind of cool. You know, if there were, like, mobsters, because they all had strange names, too. So you had all the, you know, thugs and the gangbangers selling in stores. I thought, well, maybe we should, you know, just have the other version of that being a mobster. So I created some characters, and I had a lot of bitterness and anger built up in me, especially after losing a business and doing a lot of lobbying in D.C. For the royalties in the beginning of the century and early in the last century, coming into the 21st century here. And I had gotten a chance to see how Washington really worked, and it was pretty disgusting. It was like one fat man looking at another fat man and calling them fat down there. You know, they were all the same. They're all fat slobs that I was dealing with, and they were all on the take. Everybody was paid and bought by for someone, and you know, knowing what I knew in Chicago, I mean, Chicago's no stranger to those who want to help everybody, including themselves. So I had started, I had taken it from these little caricatures that I wanted to have designed to some story. And I thought, well, maybe I could write some stories. So I had learned about Final Draft software, ordered it, and just started writing one day. And within about 2 weeks, I had 14 episodes that were written, of which like 7 of them are finished. The rest of them are going to need a little cleaning up because these were written 8 years ago. You know, I wrote these and registered these 8 years ago.
Wow.
And initially I wanted to have them, you know, watched online because I was in an online environment as it was. And but I also wrote them as half-hour episodes because I was going to try and pitch it to some production company who might pick it up or option it, which that happened. It got optioned twice, but they went nowhere. And eventually it just, you know, OneClub.fm got so big, we decided to leverage our traffic and start promoting our own products, The Wise Guys being one of them, within all of our other products. It's right when you go to the Wise Guys website, you'll see OneClub.fm. You'll see all of our other products. Of course, other than IMDb, you'll see other products, and it's like a circle. We just promote and market a lot of our products through all of our products.
I think one of the things, too, that I was impressed about when I saw the Wise Guys, it's something that it could almost, well, the acting, I mean, it makes it seem like so real after you kind of watch it. You're like, well, yeah, there possibly could be people feel like that, or there possibly could have been people like that. What was the process in, I guess, actually, you know, casting everyone for their roles in this series? And I guess with your role as you play Mickey, did you kind of like call upon somebody that you probably knew before, or did you just come up with Mickey's persona per se?
Well, I mean, it's based, you know, through my experiences in life and, you know, being in the various businesses that I've been in, from the record industry to, you know, movies and TVs and, you know, no super celebrity, of, you know, just trying to make a living, like Mickey says in one of the episodes, you know, just trying to make a living, man. And, you know, you come across a lot of people who are both good and bad. You tend to get a vibe. I mean, I don't know how other people are, but I get a vibe off of somebody very quickly, and whether or not I'm going to like them or I already have, I don't have a monopoly on this. Everybody bases their judgment on things or others on how people behave, on how they carry themselves, on how they, you know, how they do things. And a lot of these characters are based on either mishmashes of various characters or people who I thought there's got to be somebody like this guy out there, so I just created him, you know. And Mickey himself is a combination of a mobster and a politician here in Chicago, and he's a very no nonsense, very low key. You don't bring any heat. Just do business. You know, everybody's got to do business. And unfortunately, the politicians seem to, you know, steal more and get off more. You know, there's a lot of little double entendres in a lot of these episodes. You know, when you get into part one, you know, there's a line where Rat Bastard talks about, you know, no, I'm sorry, Stubbs talks about, you know, do you really think this is going to work? I mean, this guy's Teflon, you know, he sent the picture of, you know, of his dick, you know, on that internet thing, because mind you, these take place in the 90s, and at that time, people didn't know what to call the internet. They were calling it the internet thing, the internet. I once met a very high-ranked politician who thought AOL was the internet, and he was the one passing judgment on the internet. Go figure. So he talks about, the Teflon, and that'll come around through this episode. There's a lot of things in Rat Bastard's dialogue, especially in episode 4. He talks about the politician giving speeches, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. You know, and just remember one thing: he's usually someone else's bitch. Well, in that episode, in more ways than one, he becomes a bitch. but don't be fooled by 1, 2, 3, and 4, because you know there's a lot of twists in this episode. And you know, like I said, it was shot to be in a half hour episode because we're in this online environment. And this webisode, the webisode world is now starting to take off. It's how people watch a lot of things online. They have 10, 15 minutes to spare. They're going to go find their favorite scene of a movie. They're going to find their favorite scene of a TV show. So why not shoot in that manner. And that's how we're shooting these, is in, with that mindset that, you know, people have 6 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes to spare. If they're waiting for a bus, waiting for a train, they're in their house, they're somewhere, they're in their car, they're stuck in a train somewhere. We just want to make sure that, you know, we get the word out that it's available and let people watch it. And, you know, it's going to get very political in 2012. Because you have to remember the character himself, Rat Bastard, is really quite bitter. He's sitting in witness protection. He had to rat out the crew and take down the Chicago mob. But he's watching these politicians get pensions, doubling their salaries for jobs badly done, pitting people against each other, all for their own gain. And he's sitting there scratching his head basically in each episode saying, what the hell is the difference between what they do and what I did? And that's the perspective of the show.
I said, it sounds like me with a few of my ex-bosses.
Life is a never-ending parade of idiots at times, LeVar. It really is. And it just, you know, you meet a lot of wonderful, intelligent, great people, and then you meet a lot of people and just scratch their head and say, you know, how'd you come out? How'd that happen? Why? Why are you here?
I think we could all kind of relate to Rat Bastard. So even though we haven't seen him yet, but I think we could all relate to what he's going through. But let's get back to your history. This isn't your first rodeo acting. Now, you've done some acting role before. Talk to us a little bit about your history and what you've kind of done leading up to this actually right now.
Well, I mean, acting is, one thing, I know my limitations as an actor. I'm not going to pay, a Swiss banker. I understand that, you know. So when I go out for auditions, I get sent out on what I can handle, either comedy or, a wise guy, one or the other. And I'm not looking, I'm so busy, I'm not looking to expand my horizons to play, a banker from, Thailand or something who's 6 foot tall. It's just not going to happen. So in my acting as a kid, it's different when I acted as a kid and when we got into this production, because we shoot rogue, LeVar. We're low budget indie. What Kenny, my partner, Kenny Jam and Jason and Sal Camarda, we discussed them and said, okay, we're going to shoot low and shoot low budget, try and bring them in as low budget as we can and see what we can do monetarily wise. And if we can monetize the show, then we'll expand the budgets and expand the equipment and expand what we can do. But as an actor, you're on the other side of the camera. And when I was a kid, I had always gone in and out of the acting business because I was also in the music industry, and I had some modest success here and there, nothing spectacular. Like I said, trying to make a living, you keep as many balls in the air as possible, so hopefully one of them, will take off for you. Acting as a kid in certain movies, did a lot of extra work, had a couple upgrades as a feature here and there, but getting into the production side of things, my God, it's a whole different world. It's a whole different world. And then when you're acting, writing, and, producing, and then you've got the whole other division of your company, the broadcast, the radio side of your company. It's a lot of work, right? But it keeps you busy.
I can imagine. It's a good type of busy. It's a good busy to be involved with this than, probably just sitting around twiddling your thumbs busy. But I can only imagine.
You got to stay active, man. You got to go out. You know how it is, LeVar. You got to bust your ass. You got to get out there. You got to bust it up. Not everything is going to work for you. But, that doesn't mean you just throw in the towel and say, now what? And then start getting, because I fell into that trap, man. I got a little bitter, and I became Jabba the Hutt for about 6 months, about 8-9 years ago. And I just sat there and swallowed up my couch, and I got bored of it, and I got miserable. I said, okay, pick up your ass and let's go. Get moving. Do something. So I just kicked the creativity side back in. I got dragged back into the internet radio side, and here I am.
Definitely, you are here. And actually, before we even go on any farther, for those who are wondering, the wise guys, if you can't find this on the internet, you're not looking hard enough because it is everywhere. You can go to theWiseGuys.com. They are also on Facebook. They are also on Twitter. And I know that you're also on a few other sites as well. I know, and plus you're supposedly, I think you're expanding too, I thought I heard too, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, it's all viral. You know, when I say viral, you know, people say, well, you don't have a million hits, 2 million hits. I say, well, yeah, you know, that's the odds of you getting a viral video. You know, in reality, I'm in that industry. The reality of that happening is like winning the lottery, man. You know, but we're right around 25, 30,000 views right now, and I'm pretty darn impressed. I am really impressed with where it's going. You know, the goals that I set forth when we started the show, we accomplished them. We've accomplished and surpassed every goal from episode 1, 2, 3, and 4. The goals have been set. You know, it's a lot of hours of work. It's a lot of hours of, you know, there's a lot of what they call SEO involved. You got to make sure you're, you know, you're the site search engine optimized. You got to have the right keywords, the right metadata. It's a whole other planet when you're dealing online. It really is. And getting the word out that the show exists and that, you know, and then once you get the word out, then you got to get people to actually click. And then you got to, then after that, then you got to get them to actually say it's worth their time. Because they have such limited time, it's worth their time to come back and watch and want more. And that's when you start getting humble, when people start liking you, when they start liking what you're doing and they start believing in you and they take the time out of their life to make for what you're doing.
Yeah. It's keeping that audience riveted, as they always say. And speaking of successes, you have another success over on the music arena, which we kind of alluded to, with OneClub.fm. Tell us kind of how that started up and your role in that right now.
Well, I mean, initially, it started, you know, it started before I got there. There's a guy who started the site, and Kenny Jason was doing just a dance hits channel. This is, you know, years ago, 8 years ago. It was a little website, a couple channels on it. And I had just lost Cyber Radio. I just said we couldn't keep it. We had 2 million users a month. We had more traffic than broadcast.com, but it didn't matter. I didn't have the connections Mark Cuban had. So we lost that, and I had gone into a bit of a miserable, aggravated depression, came out of it. Kenny was over at that time it was called clubfmradio.com. There were some problems that were there that through a connection of mine, we were able to take care of the issue that was that had occurred, took care of that. I came on board, turned it into a corporation. And, you know, to be honest with you, at that time, that radio site was just, you know, was nothing. It was no different than any other radio site. There were dozens of internet broadcasters in the 90s. The problem was a lot of people just didn't know they existed. You had rondiamond.com, discjockey.com, www.com, even before Cyber Radio was one of the first ones online in, you know, 96, going into 97. And, you know, those were the very early days. Once the other person left the company, you know, we made some decisions. We're either going to do this properly, we're going to do it our way, or let's just hold it and move on with life. So we decided to make a go of it and compete against the Clear Channels and compete against Citadels and all the other big broadcasters, because at the end of the day, a lot of people were coming to internet radio to avoid the 20-minute commercial breaks, to avoid the 15-minute stop sets, to avoid the constant yakking in between the music. You know, a lot of people wanted to say, oh, you got, you know, all internet radio was a bunch of jukeboxes. Well, okay, so we're giving people what they want. We're giving them music.
Yeah.
When they turn on the radio, when they go to work in the morning, you know, give me the news. Give me my traffic. If I'm an adult, I need to know those things. And then please play some songs in between, you know, more than one every 19 minutes. And, you know, with our radio background, we understood that, you know.
And you mentioned your radio background. What other musical backgrounds have you had? And I think you've had some in the production end as well as the on-air end. How has it changed from the time that you first started doing this, especially, I guess, with the internet, to now? Do you think that the brand of music out there has gotten better, or are you kind of like me, where I think the stuff from back then is way better than what it is now?
Well, you know, you got to remember, you know, I can dig where you're coming from, because I'm partial to what I grew up with. But you got to remember, don't forget, man, when we were kids, what did our parents and our grandparents say about when we were, you know, back in the 80s, you were hard-pressed to find a 50, 60-year-old person who thought, you know, Move Your Body by Marshall Jefferson was a jam, okay? You were hard-pressed to find an old-timer. You know, when you were a kid, you know, when we were kids, and, you know, the Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, blah, 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 go on, the OJs, the Spinner, all that stuff. Some old-timers didn't think that was incredible. They thought that all stunk because they thought what they grew up with in the 50s and the early 60s was the great music. So it's all subject and relative to who you are when you grow up in your generation. But do I think today's music is less stellar production-wise and talent-wise? There's probably more so now because the advent of electronics has enabled people who don't know how to write, who don't know how to sing, who don't know how to write a song. I mean, I don't care if you go back to Doris Day. I don't care if you go back to Led Zeppelin. I don't care if you go back to Morris Day and the Time. I don't care if you go back to the 90s and you go back to TLC when Babyface and L.A. Reid were producing. Those there were talented people who understood music theory and wrote great songs. You've got a lot of great artists out there today on all the fields between R&B, between pop. You've got some great artists out there. Matt Nathanson's a great songwriter. He's a great artist. Anthony Hamilton, phenomenal. There's not a lot of R&B artists out there today that you can look at and say, yeah, there's the Teddy Pendergrass today. There's the Freddie Jackson today. There's the Luther Vandross. I mean, look, Chris Brown, Chris Brown can't hold a candle to Luther Vandross's vocals or Freddie Jackson. When he had laryngitis, he couldn't hold a candle to him. But he's good for this era because this era doesn't understand all of what went on with Peter Bryson and Teddy Pendergrass and Luther and Freddie Jackson. Darrell Coleman, who won Star Search. These guys had great voices. Johnny Gill was probably the last manly man voice in R&B that you had. And those days are gone, man. It's not even about that anymore. It's about image. And it's kind of sad. But there are still artists out there, Lamar. There are still great artists out there. You know, look at NDRE, man. That girl was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And the label dropped her.
I agree with you. There's still some great artists that shine. It just seems so sadly that there's a lot more of the horrible artists that are, there's far more of them than there are to the great artists like Alicia Keys or you said like NDRE. So yeah, it just those are the ones that I kind of cherish. I still love the ones that are talented, quote unquote. So if we're listening to your iPod or iPad, what are you currently listening to?
Norm, you know what? It's strange. I'm a disco freak. Studio 54 is in Great Golden Grooves, Deep Funk Channel. Those are pretty in the Bar Rock and Blues Channel. Those are pretty much, and Quiet Storm. Those are my favorite channels. That's anything that's on there is usually something I've either played, I am still playing if I'm doing club gigs. And I enjoy, you know, I love the old bands, man. I love the Barcays. I love Confunction, Michael Cooper. These guys went out there and they jammed their asses off, and they never got an ounce of respect for it. You know, a lot of guys today come up, you know, they put a record out, and everybody wants to fall all over the place, you know, to listen to them. You know, them old time, Charlie Wilson's still going strong, and he'll still put people to shame, and the Gap Band will still do a four-hour show and wipe you out. You'll be more tired than they will at the end of their show. That's the stuff I'm normally listening to. If I'm, you know, if I'm not working, that's what I've got on, and that's what I'm listening to.
I agree with you. I love the Gap Band. In and Out of My Life, one of my favorite Gap Band songs, so...
Yearning for Your Love. That was, you know, that was a great, that whole album, Gap 3, was a great album. It was a great album.
But speaking of music, your mom actually, I saw this on your Facebook page, your mom actually sings. And
yeah.
So she's like,
yeah.
So music runs in the family here.
Yeah, my mother started singing at about 4 or 5 hours after she was born. And, you know, we found some old recordings. There was an old show in Chicago called the Morris B. Sachs Amateur Hour. She was 9 years old, and it was on a 78. She was on the show, and we transferred. She actually got it transferred. So we've got that recording, and she was she worked with Ramsey Lewis in the early 60s and actually wound up getting signed to VJ about 2 days before VJ folded. And as you know, VJ signed, you know, they had Bo Diddley, they had the Beatles, and VJ was, you know, back in the 60s, Record Row in Chicago, here in Chicago, was phenomenal. It was Michigan Avenue. It was South Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
And she got signed to BJ, but within two or three days, BJ folded, and that was it. And then by the, by the early 70s, I mean, she started sending her work out to producers because Chicago is a big jingle city. So I think it was about 74 or 75. Her first commercial came on. It was about 10 to 11. I think it was like a Tuesday or Wednesday night, and I had my little radio on. It was a Just Pants commercial, which was an old store. An old chain of stores in the 70s and early 80s. It was called Just Pants. And from that point on, she just took off, and she did thousands of commercials through the 70s, 80s, and into the early 90s. And now she's very happy, and she gets to sing with the Lakeside Singers, who are a group of very dedicated, incredibly gifted and talented people here in Chicago, with some of the biggest producers, some of the biggest talents in Chicago, who do a spring show and a summer show. They also work with schools to get the kids involved in singing. They work with a school a year to get them involved, to keep them involved in the arts. And she gets to sing, she's happy. She's at Our Lady of Pompeii, the Shrine of Pompeii, in our old neighborhood on Taylor Street. She's there on Sundays. She gets to sing there every Sunday, so she's very happy. And she's still heavily involved in music.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, much success to you. The website is oneclub.fm, and we've also, on our Facebook page over on Music Comment Network, Ball Talk Radio, LeVar Evans, we've also got a link for the Wise Guys on their Facebook page, and we'll have it on our Twitter, and we'll have it everywhere. Definitely a must-see if you have not seen it already. Now, I do have one thing I have to say about the show, and I have to actually give you a kudos to your hiring of Peaches and Cream.
You know what? They were actually originally named Mary and Dawn. They were originally going to be called Scary Mary and Dawn of the Dead, because they were going to be more of a goth kind of character. And they were, it worked out well. Corey came in and just tore it up, man. And Anna was actually a substitute for the girl who was originally cast. We had no choice. We were down. We had to shoot that day. Anna was there. She was put in the scene, and Anna is... she's adorable. She did a phenomenal job on Cream. And I am bringing them both back. I'm going to rotate them in. There's an episode called How to Cure a Terrorist, where they're going to be used very heavily that episode. The title of that episode will be called How to Cure a Terrorist. And Corey just came in and owned the audition, man. Owned it. Phenomenal.
Well, I smell a spinoff somewhere, but if you ever need a... guy to come in and, if you ever need a guy to come in and do the love scenes, but I'm available. I don't have much acting experience, but I'll act my behind off if need be.
We'll be in touch. I'll make sure that the Ringenhauser character, that's about it. The Ringenhauser character, I don't think you'd want to take his character. Gary Ryder,
nope.
He's doing a phenomenal job as wait till you see this character in the other episodes. You won't even recognize him. Just a little hint. You won't even recognize him in the other episodes. That's how good of a... That's how much depth Gary Ryder has as an actor. I worked with him on a movie about 5 years ago. And he walked into the auditions not even knowing it was us producing it. So it was an omen. We were very lucky to have everybody that we've cast and everybody who's on the show. We're very fortunate to have them. They work their asses off, and we work very bizarre hours, and I can't thank them all enough for what they do.
And we can't thank you enough for appearing on the program with us, Sal Model. Thank you so much. The show is The Wise Guys, DAWISEGUIS. Catch it on thewiseguys.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter. And also go to oneclub.fm. Sal, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Enjoyed having you. And like I said, anytime you want to come back and talk about the show, we'd love to have you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you reaching out to us. Thank you very much.
And that will do it for the 411 Lounge. I am LeVar, and for my guest, Sal Amato. And like I said, check them out on thewiseguys.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.